Love and Marriage, written by Philomatha, read by Via Ostiense.
Well, what did you think of her? Padma slid his arm around her shoulders in the rear of the light flyer and gave a boyish smile. Quite the Baton, isn't she? Alice settled into his comfortable embrace, her gaze turning from the distant night glow of the capital to her husband. Very much so, she said. She's clever, of course, and utterly besotted with him. She gave a little laugh. A love match. Who would have thought it after all these years? She'll have a lot of instant enemies amongst all the girls who have been trying to catch Errol this past decade and more. Alice had been amongst those girls for a short time, until her grandmother had acidly suggested that she observe Errol's behavior towards men. Alice had made the correct deduction, and decided to try for the younger and handsomer cousin instead. A Baton, she supposed, would be more flexible about those kinds of things. But you'll make her welcome, won't you? He cupped a protective hand over her womb and added, as much as you have the energy for, I mean. You have to look after yourself right now. Alice smiled. Of course I shall. She had gone to the wedding prepared for anything, and Cordelia had left her profoundly relieved. Errol could have chosen much, much worse. All in all, I liked her. The other thing Alice had instantly concluded was that she didn't want Cordelia for an enemy. Whether she would be a friend was a harder question to answer. But Alice intended to try. It'll certainly stir things up if we get a Baton for regent consort, she added. If, as our name's Errol, Padma said cautiously, he might be laying a false trail for us all, planning to spring some other candidate out at the last moment. It would be like him. Corain used to want Count Vordarian, it's true, but even she's been talking Errol up lately, and I can't see how any of the other plausible candidates could stand up to Errol, especially since Negri supports him. He does? Padma turned to look at her properly. How do you know that? Did you notice that little IMSEC commander who was there today? He left halfway through the reception, she added, with a disapproving frown. Anyway, I've seen him at the residence. Corain tells me he's Negri's right-hand man, and Negri's been sticking him to Errol at every opportunity. He wouldn't do that without a reason. Ah. We don't hear much about IMSEC's internal arrangements and ops. Padma shrugged. I hope Princess Corain won't hold it against Lady Vorkosigan that she fought on the other side of the war. Alice raised her eyebrows a little. I hardly think that likely. She glanced sideways at Padma, and he looked away. Well, yes. Prince Zerg's behavior had been a topic nobody mentioned in polite company. He had married Princess Corain just before Alice came out, and she had lamented the lost opportunity and not understood why her mother had seemed relieved. The first time she encountered Zerg at a party, it became clear. After that, she learned to keep her distance from him. Parties at the residence would be much more enjoyable now. There was a silence, whilst Padma absently stroked her arm, and Alice allowed herself to enjoy his warm presence at her side. Watching Cordelia and Errol repeat their vows had reminded her of her own wedding, though Errol's had been a tiny affair, whilst the War Patrol match had been the biggest event of the season. And that was not the only contrast. Errol and Cordelia were a love match. Alice didn't think Errol had sent a baba to Cordelia's family, even as a formality. Whatever Cordelia saw in Errol, it was not his rank or his title. Alice hadn't been entirely convinced that Cordelia even understood who Errol was in Barry Yarn society. She would be in for a shock when Errol took her back to the capital. But apart from all the politics, Padma said after a while, I think she'll be good for him. And after these last few months, it's wonderful to see him more himself again. Alice put her hand over Padma's. I agree. He does seem much better, she said, and felt Padma relax. He loved his cousin, but whatever had been eating at Errol since Escobar, Padma had been unable to help. The night they'd heard about Errol's attempt to kill himself by crashing his light flyer, Alice had seen Padma weep for the first time. She had comforted Padma that night, and never spoken of the wondering voice in her head that said perhaps it would be she who would sit in the residence if Errol did manage to kill himself one day. Padma had wisely stayed well clear of the discussion of the regency, and he wasn't a good candidate as things stood, but if Errol had died, he would have been a much better one. Alice was genuinely fond of Errol, and didn't want any harm to come to her, but there was always a part of her that calculated about things like this. She had learned early on that to speak about these things was unwomanly, but her grandmother had saved her from believing that it was unwomanly to think them. But she could never share that part of herself with Padma. "I hope," Padma said, smiling again, "they will be as happy together as we are." He leaned forward and kissed her cheek. Alice let him draw her close and rested her head against his shoulder. Of all the men she might have caught, she thought she had found the best. Padma might be further from the throne, but he wasn't a pervert, wasn't a drunk, wasn't married to his career. He was honest and loyal and clever. He treated her with unfailing respect, and he listened to her advice. And over time, she was coming to love him, perhaps not passionately, but warmly. What more could she want?